It is Thursday, the 7th of May. Joining us for Talk Shop is Brian and Sheriff of Humboldt County, Billy Hansel.
Here we go, huh? And you thought you really weren't loved in Humboldt County, Mr. Billy.
Here we are, Brian. Here we are.
Yeah. Okay, Winston, why don't you kick us off here?
All right. Let's go. Pigeonhole. Why is one of a tier of compartments called a pigeonhole?
Pigeon houses. That's how the pigeons used to, when they would raise pigeons and use them as carriers, they had like apartment houses and they had small little compartments and that's where the birds live.
You weren't supposed to guess it that quickly.
Was I right?
Yes. All right then. Let's see if you can do it twice. Pillar to post.
No.
How did we come to say a person is tossed about from pillar to post?
There you go, Billy. That one's yours.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
The expression refers to the fact that at one time an offender against law and order was either placed in the pillory or whipped at the whipping post, and sometimes was forced to go from one to the other.
The good old days, huh?
Yeah. Must have been outside of my time zone when that one happened. So
long time
ago.
Before Cox.
No. Yeah, for sure.
Oh boy. Well, I've heard an awful lot of positives locally as well as nationally about your kind of driving the stake with the governor about the beaches in Humboldt County. You want to share a little bit about what led up to that, and what got you motivated to make that step?
For sure. I mean, it's this whole declaration of emergency here locally, you know, state on the federal level, obviously has gotten everyone on a very, very heightened level. And so, you know, with a public health emergency, it's unlike any emergencies that we've had to deal with before. You know, when we talk about a local emergency, we usually talk about a flood, an earthquake, a fire, those things that we can see that are tangible, that we can deploy resources for, and those kind of things. So a public health emergency is a rather different type of emergency. And, you know, we have to prepare for, you know, something that we can't see, you know. And so, you know, a lot of those things, you know, what we want to do here in our community is give confidence to our community that what we're doing here locally is what we have to do to protect our people. So our public health order and our public health officer, you know, has to be, you know, has to weigh constitutional rights of the citizen versus protecting the citizens for these public health issues. And so our public health officer has done a good job in narrowly focusing, which is what she's supposed to do, that our order to take care of public health and while weighing all of someone's personal rights and liberties. So that is something that they have to weigh. And the governor and our California Department of Public Health has to do the same thing. So initially, a statewide shelter-in-place order, very appropriate. You know, we didn't know wide-sweeping virus, a lot of unknowns. Our hospitals weren't prepared. You know, we need to do a shelter-in-place because there's, you know, could be very catastrophic, you know, for a lot of people if we don't lock down and stop moving and spreading the virus. So there was the need for it at that time. I applaud the governor for doing that. You know, but that was needed for the time. But all the rules after that, once things get stabilized, have to be very narrowly focused, you know, to the specific group that it's adhering to. So, you know, when we got wind of a potential beach closure, and we heard about things that were going on in very small areas of Southern California, mind you, very, very small areas. And then that is really debatable, too, as far as were they really in violation of the 6-foot rule and those kind of things. So very small areas of Southern California, there was an issue. And the governor saw pictures. He got reports that there was some crowding on the beaches. And he actually, you know, chastised Southern California, certain beaches of Southern California, and then actually praised Northern California for, you know, doing things correctly and actually singled out Humboldt County. You know, so we thought everything was looking good, you know, and then all of a sudden on Wednesday night last week we get a call, and I've gotten text and my phone starts, you know, alerting in early evening that The governor plans on closing the entire 840-mile coastline of California because of people congregating on the beach. And messages were already sent to law enforcement. Messages were already sent out, you know, statewide this was going to occur, to prepare for it. He's going to make the speech at noon the next day on Thursday, and this is going to happen. And at that point in time, you know, we've already voiced our concerns on law enforcement level, and it was still going to go through. So, you know, I felt the only thing to do was to, you know, bring it to the attention of our public and know that that this, you know, that I recognize the fact that, you know, the governor can make laws, you know, and he has the ability to, you know, create an order that is backed up by law enforcement. But as a law enforcement officer, you know, sworn by to uphold the state of California laws and the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of California, you know, rights and liberties, you know, can't be affected from public health in this aspect, you know, unless it is narrowly focused to meet the needs of that situation. So closing a certain beach in Orange County could be, you know, within his purview because of that. But closing the whole coastline, I believe, was something that was inappropriate at that time and outside his boundary to do. He could make a ruling like that, but it's not constitutionally based. So if we cited someone here locally for something like that, in likelihood, it would have been immediately thrown out, not charged. And so I believe it's within my right to make a declaration like that, that I believe it's outside the means of his ability, and constitutionally, I don't believe it's correct. So I will not be upholding, you know, a statewide beach ban, essentially. That me and Sheriff Apperson and a couple other sheriffs, you know, and I think Sheriff Parkinson in San Luis Obispo County also came out against it as well. And so it was clear that the state sheriffs were going to be, you know, pushing back on this. So that garnered some news, and I'm happy that the governor ended up changing his mind at the noontime press conference, and it was rescinded. And so I'm very, very happy that the message was heard, and that, you know, our coastline was protected there.
Okay, I didn't listen to the information times that you gave to.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Pillar and post, huh? You have a chance of remembering that one.
Yeah.
Billy, during this situation, you know, there are a couple of dozen sheriffs, there are a couple dozen public health officers throughout the state. Have the folks in Sacramento adjusted and opened up lines of communication? Have they shut them down? Are they saying this is a local issue? Or are they saying it's a state issue or a federal issue? How is the backside of this thing? Have there been improvements made so that there is that flexibility a little bit easier or a little bit sooner?
Well, I'm thankful that there's a couple things that are occurring. One is our public health officer is you know, on the phone every day with California Department of Public Health officials, all the way to the top official, and so the messages that are being relayed here, you know, are being, you know, heard in Sacramento through that avenue. And so by modifying, you know, the public health order, I think there was a, you know, we've seen movement over the last couple of weeks. I think the governor kept pushing out saying, hey, in 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to go to phase two. We're going to go to phase two as a state. It's going to be a statewide decision. But as we started seeing last week, there's fractures, you know, amongst counties with Modoc, Sutter, Yuba, you know, saying that, nope, we're going to move out into our own phase two because we're in a position where we can't do this as a county. We have everything set up and we can move that direction. And so it was, you know, an interesting, and then the governor kind of scolded them for that. But they continued that direction. So Monday, you know, we finally heard from the governor that we were going to have this soft opening start tomorrow, Friday, and into phase two. And there's going to be some benchmarks that counties are going to have to adhere to and attest to in order to move on to an expanded phase two or phase two, which means, you know, retail will have storefronts, restaurants will be open, and those kind of things. So there's going to be certain things that have to be in place, and those certain things, those benchmarks, were supposed to be out to us. First they said Monday night, and then Tuesday, then Wednesday. And as far as I know, they're not here yet. And so we're anticipating those benchmarks any time. And then also the governor said that he will release a modified, you know, shelter-in-place order. He will provide guidance for businesses that do want to open up by today. So we're anticipating that as well. So those
the governor is going to be providing guidance to business.
Supposedly that's going to happen today, and then just, you know, what those. So we're already kind of laying the groundwork for our businesses here. You know, I think it's important that you know, our businesses do prepare for this, because it's something that you know, we know it is coming. So certain things that, you know, we want businesses to do is, you know, come up with a policy for, you know, their employees to wear the facial coverings, you know, where it's appropriate under the under our mask covering law here in Humboldt County. So when you're greeting customers, when you're inside the facility, when you can't socially distance, those are the times when you have to, you know, wear a mask. And also having a policy regarding customers coming into your store. Now, the masking you know, rule here, order here in Humboldt County, again, it's used to, you know, to not, you know, put an extra barrier, you know, a cumbersome barrier on someone. This is used to obviously to slow the spread, you know, and we know that it will still be out there. So this is one of those mitigating factors we can all do, protect the other person, to protect ourselves, and to make sure that we can continue down this road, because we don't want to go right back into a situation where we overwhelm, you know, our medical system, or people start getting sick again. We don't want that to happen. So this is just one of those mitigating factors that we all do that can help everyone else out. And so having this, you know, the masking order in place, allowing for social distancing, and, you know, inside your storefront, you know, having a place where you can sanitize and wash, you know, for employees and people that enter your store, and then having a policy about frequently cleaning and sanitizing areas where people touch and utilize. And so those are the things that we want people to kind of already start putting in place, because there's going to be a time here real soon where we're going to have to, quote, certify businesses that meet these guidelines. And so if you already have these policies in place, it's going to be a breeze for you to kind of certify your business and open your doors.
So you're talking about written policies and procedures. The certification process, what are there, about 10,000 businesses in the county, give or take? Seems like it would be a huge, long, drawn-out process for businesses to be able to implement these strategies and start doing business again. Are they bringing on extra people? Has it been a thought process to this time for processes?
Yes. So this is not, we're not here to essentially hold businesses back. We just want to, number one, remind businesses these are the requirements that the state has laid out for us to open our business doors again. And these plans do not have to be elaborate for us. You know, so, and there's a lot of guidance online through CDC, through California Department of Public Health regarding, you know, what, you know, how should you frequently clean and sanitize your facility, you know, and so.
Well, would there be a way, Billy, for the county just to have a template? You fill it in, it gets automatically dropped in, you guys spot check. Well, but once it's filled in, you just post it and you're off to the races?
Yes, Brian. Yes, it is, because we are creating that right now. So what we're doing right now is you should see it on our website today, where someone can fill out this essential template. It'll be, advising who you are, you know, what your business is, what you're doing business as, and then, you know, your type of business.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Billy, when you're considering some of the different information that's coming in, are you getting the information and the data that you're hoping to from all various elements to really give a strong reflection of what is current in the county?
We are, you know, part of the Office of Emergency Services that I run there, the EOC. We have a economic development component to that. So Scott Adair, which is the department head for economic development in the county, is our point there. And so he's been reaching out to the chambers of commerce and different levels of businesses and different interests with tourism and those kind of things to check in. Obviously, we're tracking the business losses. We are tracking and steering people towards the assistance that government has been laying out there for small businesses and businesses here in the county. So we're doing our best to make those contacts. We're also soliciting information and providing information. That's our conduit, and Scott's been able to keep us up to date on what the business community is feeling, and we hear it. You know, it's some of the things that are frustrating as heck. You know, why is Target open and be able to sell everything that our small business can't sell? And I completely agree. That is something that is you know, frustrating, and so we hope to be remedying that real soon. You know, one of the things that we're going to require is, again, all the businesses that go through, every single business, including the essentials or not, going through these different things, these measures, safety measures they have to put in place, and these essential businesses that are currently open will have to adhere to those same measures.
Well, sure, and I would suspect that most people, if they reflected at all, are going to be putting those types of things in play anyway. You know,
yes,
for themselves,
for sure.
For their family, for the customers, for the employees. I mean, I don't think any of that stuff particularly is rocket science. I think a lot of it, probably, if there is an issue, is going to come down to the basic economics of it. Can I afford to put in all of these various partitions? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I get my employees back? That's something we're starting to hear discussions about, is that as businesses have been authorized to be able to reopen, that the folks that were under employment before aren't that wild to come back. Either the
right.
Government compensation is a little bit more than what they want, or they just, I don't think so. You know, maybe next week. Well, I think there's going to be a huge, huge shift, and I don't know what the shift looks like, but, you know, with the information, I would think that you could probably walk up and down 4th and 5th Street and get a pretty good feel of what various business attitudes are from those folks that are still open.
We have, exactly. And we know that there's businesses that will remain closed until, you know, they feel it's safe to open. And so, but there we have businesses that are just, you know, really, really eager to open up to the point where people are trying to open the doors early. And so I get all of that. And so there is a balance. We want people to, number one, feel comfortable and safe to operate their business. If they don't feel safe, you know, no one's going to make their business open. And so, but we do believe that if you have these protocols in place, that it will lower your risk and that you can put in mitigating factors that can help your employees as well as safeguard your customers that come in your establishments.
Now, a number of the cities have put together economic assistance programs. I know Fortuna and Arcata have got some pretty well established, and they've set aside some significant monies. Do you know if the county has done anything for those in the unincorporated areas to be able to do something similar, whether it's in Garberville or Tutton or McKinleyville, to be able to help those businesses if they need a little jump start to get things rolling?
So we have, like I said, we've had this economic development component to our EOC. So we have, you know, provided avenues for businesses, both counties and cities, to get assistance and relief. And so there's several different programs that are running right now, and where businesses can get that relief and get the support that they need to sustain whatever they need to do right now, but also prepare for, you know, opening the doors in the future.
Yeah. After you're open and then 6 weeks out after the PPP has gone away, or if you haven't gotten the idle, okay, now what? Now we're dealing with reality, and let's see what that looks like. Speaking of reality, when you look at the statistics, what are some of the stats that really leap out at you that get your attention, either positively or, you know, maybe setting things up for issues down the road, but aren't needing to be addressed right now?
Well, the positive thing is that we flattened our curve as of April 7th. April 7th, we flattened our curve, and here we are a month later, you know, we're in a good position to move as a county. So I applaud this county for doing what it needed to do to get to the place where we can open back up for, you know, trying to reestablish some things. You know, the negative is, I mean, we're $30+ million, you know, as loss from our businesses. That is, again, staggering number. We have, you know, we have lots of businesses that are closed. We have lots of businesses that are permanently now shut down. And so that's concerning. Another positive thing, though, is that our medical community and our Office of Emergency Services, our public health, has rallied together. And so Mad River, St. Joe's, and our EOC has created a structure in place so we can manage an overflow of people that could come into the hospitals. And so that is a win, you know, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So we have 100 additional beds outside of our hospitals. They've expanded their bed capacity internally, but we've handled 100 additional beds outside the hospital. And so that is a win for us locally. And then having
Is that a permanent situation? So down the road, or is that just during this period when those beds aren't really being needed?
No, so this is just a temporary location. So this is a temporary location to deal with this local emergency. So it's an alternate care site that we've set up to assist St. Joe's, you know, with their, you know, a potential overflow where people are, you know, are sick and they need a place to recover. You know, that's we have a recovery place so they can keep the ICU beds and they can keep the beds where they need some acute care. You know, that is, you know, should be in that hospital setting. But we have a recovery area that we have established to help with that situation. So that's something that's one of those requirements from the state that they're going to mandate for us. And we're there. We can check that box. One of the other thing is having
Good.
A...
So if you're going to pause, we'll take a break, and then we'll be back, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, it's tough to get on the road. It's kind of like stopping the skateboard as you're halfway down the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
But then once you stop, we'll take advantage of that one.
Okay,
a little
perfect.
Then we'll be back. It's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel, halfway down the hill on his skateboard. when I had you apply the brakes. So what do you think for the next week, 2 weeks? What is your crystal ball looking like right now, Billy?
So what we're going to see over the next 2 weeks is a reopening of our retail and restaurants business. We believe that we're going to be in that position, probably one of the first counties that can theoretically attest that we can meet all those benchmarks that the state put out, and so we can open up our virtually all the retail and restaurants and some other businesses, you know, for business. And so this next couple weeks is going to be fairly busy. One is getting people and businesses to put those safety measures in place and be able to attest to that online in our online database, and then for them to get employees to work and get people's confidence back up, you know, that if they need something, they can go to one of our local stores and to, you know, get the supplies and services that they need. So we're going to be in good position.
When you say restaurant, do you mean sit down inside the restaurant or?
No, we're going to do sit down restaurants as part of phase two. And so there's going to have to be some restrictions in place. But we believe that the state will be coming out with some guidance. That's what they're talked about, you know, today, having that guidance for restaurants and some of those other businesses that they say can't open in phase two. So we believe that we'll be in that position to, you know, allow, you know, our local restaurants to open up. And it's going to be a little bit different. You know, they're going to have to physically distance. There's going to be some, you know, safety measures that are going to be in play, but restaurants will be allowed to open here in phase two.
So who won't be able to function as they did before after the next 2 weeks?
You know, people still are asking about salons and barbershops, nail salons, and, you know, those kind of personal touches, I should say. You know, those are still at odds on the state level as far as when they could open up. And so I don't know if they've actually made a decision. It looks like it's going to be phase three right now. But, you know, our own public health officer is lobbying to try and ease that restriction. You know, as long as people have, you know, the safety measures in place, there's no reason why they can't open those doors. That's our stance. And then probably after that,
it's just the large group gatherings, that kind of stuff.
Phase three will be large group bars. There'll be gymnasiums, you know, gyms where there's shared equipment, you know, those kind of things will, those will be a part of that phase three, you know. And again, we have to get through this phase two, you know, without a significant spike, you know, with impact with our medical system here. If we can get through that, then we can go to phase three next, and we're looking forward to that. But we have to, again, put all these safety measures in place to make sure that the virus doesn't spread.
And then maybe we're talking about budgets next month, huh? Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Man, that is a very, very tough conversation that we're going to have all around. So,
we'll save that one for down the road.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that.
All righty, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you. Take care.
See everybody tomorrow.